Let me speak to you today what the Lord spoke to my heart as I begin this message to you. He said, America, what time is it? Do you even know? Do you even care? I've called you to repent, but you refuse my calling. I drew you to my side by my grace and my love, but you rejected and you have forsaken your duty and your desire to worship me. He said, I have no choice but to execute my judgment upon you. A heavy hand and a heavy heart awaits you at your next turn. He said, my grace is sufficient, but you frustrated it. Now exposure will accelerate for you, for the whole world to see. Your enemies laugh and scorn you, for your systems of governance are broken and are worn out, tattered because you wouldn't allow me in. You've abandoned me, therefore I will abandon you. What will you do at the hour of your visitation? Darkness has arrived, but it's going to get darker. Find my light, speaking of his truth, find my light and hold fast your faith. For some and many will be shipwrecked on the ship of fools. Watch this. For they embrace a false dream and they have pursued a false vision of a nation without me. Foolish are they that put their trust in a man. Father God, thank you for this message today, and I ask that you would help me to speak these words today in clarity and in power of the Holy Spirit, that you would anoint me and that you would appoint me this day my assignment that is before your people. For it's in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and amen. Powerful words. As I always tell you, to take them to the Lord. And I would reread them. And I would listen to this again and again. As many that follow this ministry, they tell me that they listen and re-listen to the messages to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I think that's a smart thing to do. This message is going to be pretty raw, and I want to make this disclaimer again for those that are watching, those in the house, especially for our media platforms. I'm going to say some things today that are going to be shocking, and it's not for shock and awe. It's not for impressions. It's for reality, because I believe we're living in a day and an hour where pastors hold back and they don't tell the truth. They don't reveal to the people the conditions of the nation. Because most people are living life upside down anyways, and they don't pay attention to the totality of what's going on. Some, I understand, are busy in life. Others just don't care. They don't want to know the prophetic reality. And if you are that type of person, then you're going to miss out on what God is doing in the last days. You're going to miss out on the pulse of God, and you'll miss out on the promises of God, because there are blessings and promises for the last days. If you don't believe that, read the book of Revelation. When you read it, you're blessed. Is anybody here today? And so I will say some things today that are pretty raw. And again, I'm not doing it for showmanship. I never do. I do it for truth. I do it so that we can pull the scales off of our eyes, so we can have our ears unstopped and our hearts unclogged from all the mess we receive from mainstream media and life in general. And so I wanted to make that disclaimer before I begin this message. The title of this message is called Burn Notice, Part 2. Burn Notice, Part 2. Back on 5/26, I preached a message called Burn Notice. And this is Part 2 to that message that the Father would have me speak to you. Again, I encourage you to re-listen to this message. You'll find some new truths as you go back and you study the Word of God. Amen. Burn notice. Most of us know what a burn notice is. It's in the intelligence community that whenever an asset becomes unreliable or is found out to be full of disinformation, misinformation, they are rendered useless. And the agencies contact one another and they give them a burn notice. And for the nation today, we are receiving a burn notice from heaven. a burn notice because of the disinformation, the misinformation, and the misguiding of Christianity today in America. We misrepresent the kingdom of God in many ways. And I know it does not speak to everybody in this room or those watching or the totality of the body of Christ, but we have a large part of our society and church life that is full of doctrines of men and human philosophy and flat out Satanism and Luciferianism in our country. And because men and women don't stand up and say something, then darkness has an ability to abide and reside and to expand itself. Therefore, that's why we're in the mess we're in today. That's why we have the craziness in the house of God today. That's why we have preachers who do what they want to do privately and preach like an angel on Sunday, and nobody knows the difference in the house. Because we've been lulled asleep, we have been duped, and we have been bewitched. And we're no longer Bereans of the Bible anymore. We don't study. We buy a CD and a book and we tell it to teach us, when the only book that you need is the Bible. That's the revelation of God to you and to me. And so as I open up this morning very casually, I'm trying to release a foundation for you and I to walk upon in a solid way and in a safe way. Because truth is the only foundation that'll carry us on over to the other side, over the troubled waters of deception that is in the house of God. Just believe this and understand this. Because they're on television doesn't mean they know God. Just because they have the finest of suits or the silkiest of dresses does not mean that they are walking with the Spirit of God. For the truth of the proof is found in the anointing of God. And the anointing breaks every single yoke and breaks every single chain. And when people have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know you've been in the presence of a man or a woman of God. So if you would go to your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, say, welcome, Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, I'm going to preach chapter 12 and some other places today. I'm trying to keep myself contained because I've been wanting to get into this pulpit so bad to, first of all, spend time with you and tell you that I love you, but also to preach the blessed truth of this holy writ that you have in your hands. Amen. So the title of the message is Burn Notice, Part 2, and I encourage you to go back and listen to Part 1, though I had no intentions of making it a two-parter, but when the Lord spoke to me the title, that I understood I was going to continue that understanding and that vein of the original message. Burn notice. I want to begin in verse number 4, because we understand in verse 1, 2, and 3 that Jeremiah is dealing, he's complaining to the Lord. How many of y'all know sometimes you need to complain to Jesus? Oh, y'all didn't hear me right. Sometimes it's okay to complain to him and say, Lord, I don't understand some things. I guess maybe you have it all together, but sometimes I go to the Father and say, Lord, I don't understand some things. I don't understand why the heathen rage. I don't understand why people prosper who shouldn't prosper. Lord, I don't understand why this happens to me. Lord, I don't understand why this happens to my family. Lord, I just can't figure things out sometimes. So maybe you're more holier than I am, and I'm working to go to your level. So pray for me. But the reality is, even Jeremiah, the prophet, who had a direct connection with God and a direct line with heaven, even he could not understand why the heathen were prospering. You ever been there? We've all been there. We don't understand. You pray and you ask God to do a miracle, and he takes his time. That's his deal and his decision. He's sovereign. But I know this one thing, he'll show up when he's ready, and it will always be on time because it's his time. He's a on-time God. And so verse 1 and 2 and 3, he's speaking of this issue, and he realizes that God is righteous. But watch verse 4, and I was brought to this beginning here. Verse 4, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither. How long? How long are we going to wait for the coming of the Lord? How long are these things going to take place? The trials and the tribulations and the testings and the troubles and the tears. How long, oh God, do we have to wait? And why are we waiting? And why are these things taking place? Again, Jeremiah has an open door relationship with God. I hope you do too, where you can go and say, how long, God? For if you spend any time reading and researching and looking upon the reality of what's happening in this country, it makes you say, how long, God? God has a perfect plan and a perfect timing for everything. But watch this. I'm going to bring out a question and then an answer. He said, for how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The question today is, why are we living in the situation that we're living in if we are a country that is so-called Christian, if we're a country that says in God we trust, if we have churches on every corner, we've got preachers on every channel, we have all these things, we have Christian bookstores and all kinds of CDs and entertainment and entrapments of Christianity, how come we are in such a condition that we're in? And this is Jeremiah's complaint. This is Jeremiah's question to God. And our question today, why are we in the chaos that we're in? Why do we have the chaos in Washington? Why do we have our nation about to be ripped apart into pieces? Of course, you'll have those pundits will say it's this political reason. And it's for this reason, and it's for that reason, and everybody will begin to point fingers as they always do to bring about disinformation and misdirection to get away from the reality and the core of the issue that we face. Because Jeremiah had the answer right there in verse 4. And the number one indictment against Israel and against America today is wickedness. Read it again, where he said, Lord, how long shall the land mourn? How long shall the herb wither for the wickedness of the land? I want to make something clear to this church and everybody that follows this ministry, for I know there's great expectation of what will be said this morning concerning the chaos in Washington. I stand here today with record an archive of what this house has said would come to this nation of a constitutional crisis. And those that have been a part of this ministry have heard these words. And just recently of the message Belshazzar and other messages we've preached over the several years that what you see is not real. In other words, there's a facade that is taking place. There's a matrix and a game that is leading us into a place of civil war and division purposely. And we're being tossed left and right to the point that our families and our churches and ministries and lives and households are being divided politically. The unfortunate thing with politics is that also it has a cultural and a color tag to it. It has a society tag to it. It has an economic tag to it. And so the devil is working overtime in this nation, but we've been warned that this was going to take place, and you are watching it transpire before your very eyes. My purpose this morning in mentioning this, and I have struggled with it because I said, Lord, I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say. I don't want to say anything to be divisive purposely, but I'm telling you, body of Christ, you better stick together. You better stay together. You better ask for truth. You better ask for exposure. You better ask that God would keep your mind, your spirit, your soul, to keep your body together and keep you focused on the love of Jesus Christ. Because division is here in America. I preached a message many years ago called The Divided States of America. Today, we're divided. And I'm telling you the reason that we're here today, the reason the chaos that's going on in the White House and the chaos that's been going on in the White House and in our Congress and the political system is not left and right political paradigm. It is because of wickedness. It is because of unrighteousness. It's because of the sin of the nation. A house divided cannot stand. And I'm warning you by the Holy Spirit, with all grace and love and peace and the power of a sound mind, keep yourself in love and keep your tongue in the right place and keep your heart before God and don't be pulled to the left or to the right. Ask for truth. For I've told you many times from this pulpit that I've prayed for exposure. It's here. I don't care what side. I don't care what angle. It doesn't make a difference which way it goes. Ask for exposure. Why? For the salvation of lost souls. We are in the precipice of the greatest judgment this nation has ever faced. And again, it's not because of entities and political power. Though you will be asked to make a decision, you'll be pulled one way or the other by your culture, by your family, by people around you. But I'm telling you, it is because the nation is being judged. The nation is being put in a position to where God is exposing everything that he possibly can for the redemption of man. Is anybody still here? I could say many things upon that subject, but I will leave it at that, adding just this, that whatever God desires will come to pass. Whatever he desires, it will come to pass for the saving of a soul. And I must tell this congregation, and I'm not saying it to bring light to myself, but I have been in tears over the soul of this president. Over the whole situation that our nation is facing. But it's because of the wickedness. Are you still here? And I will prove that to you by the time I finish and you leave this building. You will know it has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with games. It has nothing to do with Fox News and CNN. It's got nothing to do with the left and the right and all this stuff you're being fed. It has everything to do with the heart and soul of a nation that is imploding. How many of y'all got some grief already this week? I mean, you can't even go in the marketplace, somebody talking about it. Can't even talk to your family. It's going to get worse. Watch what he says here. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the politics? Is that what it says? No. For the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed, the birds, because they said, he shall not see our end. So indictment number one from heaven to Jeremiah, the reason that the earth mourns and the reason you're going through the stuff is wickedness. Number two, it says, he shall not see our end. The interpretation of that is not so clear when you look at it from the Bible in the King James Version. But if you study out the Hebrew, you'll begin to understand he's speaking of the prophecies of Jeremiah. He's speaking of the prophetic judgments. They said to him, we know that you speak for God, but we don't believe that you hear from God. We don't believe that you're truly a prophet. We don't believe that what you're saying is going to come to pass. So we're not going to have an end like you said. So indictment number two is they will not believe the prophetic word. They will not believe the prophetic word. You can speak to many people in the body of Christ, and many of you have done so with your family, and they won't even listen to you when you begin to tell them about prophecy. Wave at me if you got a pulse. They won't even, they'll look at you and they'll get mad at you and say, oh no, man, that can't happen here in America. There's no possible way these things can take place. Don't you realize who we are? Don't you realize our military? Don't you realize our strength? Don't you realize our economy? And these are the same attitudes and the actions that took place with Israel when they looked at Jeremiah. I always said, yeah, you might be some type of prophet, but your prophetic word will have no end. Your prophetic word will not come to pass. God does not see our sin. God loves us, and we have a Christian nation, and we have all these things. We have all of this entrapment. How many of y'all know people like that? I hear it all the time, and people who resist the preaching of prophecy and the realization while the numbers are right before your eyes and the very incidents are right before you and they're unfolding real time. They're unfolding in living color. So the two indictments was a wicked nation, a wicked people. And the second was the rejection of the prophetic. It matters how you receive the prophetic. Let me try that again. It matters how you receive the prophetic. If you look at the book of Revelation and the last day teachings through Jesus and the book of Matthew chapter 24 and other places, and you do not receive or perceive of what he is saying and you reject it and you say, I think it's going to be another way, or I embrace a teacher that says it's going to be this way, and you take away from that truth, you cause yourself to miss out on what God wants to do. You see, how Jesus was perceived is how he was received. I said, how Jesus was perceived is how Jesus was received. And how you perceive the gospel and how you perceive the last day message of the prophets and the watchmen and the prophetic reality is the realization of what you receive out of it and how you will live accordingly. In other words, if you don't believe it's going to rain, come on, Noah's time. If you don't believe there's going to be a storm, if you don't believe it's possible, if you don't believe there's going to be an economic collapse, then you're not going to prepare for it. You don't care about it. You don't worry about it. And you make fun of everybody else until the rain starts falling. Until all of a sudden you start seeing recession signs everywhere. And all of a sudden you go down to your favorite fast food restaurant and they jacked it up $2. Hello, Taco Bell. Y'all ain't been out in a little while. Go to some of your fast food and see how they raise the prices. But I thought we were living good. I thought this was the best economy possible. I didn't know a chalupa went up. Is anybody here? You see, I don't worry about facts and figures from D.C. and other places. I look at where I live. I look at what's happening when I put fuel in my vehicle. I look at it when I feed my children. You know, I got to feed them big time. I look at all those things just like you do, and that is a reality. So if you don't perceive what's taking place around you, then you will find yourself fooled and bewitched and poisoned by the matrix. And so Jeremiah had an issue, much like we do today, trying to convince men and women of the reality that their nation is imploding, the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back in his perfect timing, but that the nation will find itself at the crossroads of civil war. Again, we live in a nation, we don't want to hear that. But look what God says in verse 5. As he's now speaking to Jeremiah, as Jeremiah had his complaint and he realized the indictment, God said, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And this fits into what I was talking about, perceiving and receiving. If you in this hour cannot even stand what's going on around you and are not prepared for the days that are coming upon you, then what will you do when it increases? If you find this message boring, if you find this whole mentality a waste of time, why should I prepare? Why should I get ready? Why should I do these things? Everything is going to be just fine. It's going to take care of itself. It's going to work itself out and out. You will not be ready for what is coming. I promise you. You'll be the first one knocking on the door. I'll answer it. I'll let you in. But the reality is this, that we must prepare for the coming days. We must be ready for what is about to take place in our country and find ourselves in a right relationship with God and do everything we can to get closer to Him. Do everything we can to get into the truth, the light of His truth, because His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and He'll direct us on our journey, and He will provide for us as we make provision to help Him provide for us. America has a burn notice. America will never be great again. It's impossible for America to be great again because America tried to do it politically. You can't do anything spiritually, politically. You can't legislate love. Come on now. You can't legislate the races to love one another. The most segregated place on Sunday morning is the house of God anyways. Wish I had somebody say amen. No matter what color you bees. Is anybody here? And so we find ourselves in an entrapment because we've used the political harness to try to guide us into our destiny, into our future, looking for some way, some avenue to bring us into glory, into the promised land. When God says, here's the indictment, you're not looking for the promised land properly, because I am your promised land. I am your provision. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection, and I will provide for you. And no man, no entity, no person can. And we got into cult Christianity in America, grasping at straws, finding the hope that we need instead of going to the hope that is, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find ourselves in deep trouble. And we find ourselves at a crossroads in our nation, but these days have been prophesied. These days have brought warning, and those that have listened to the warning have perceived it, and now they receive the peace to know that, guess what? It's going to be all right. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people panicking right now. How many of y'all know some people that are panicking, all upset, and they're fussing and cussing and yelling at the TV? And come on, wave at me if I'm telling you the truth. Getting all antsy. Honey, we got the smoothest hand, the most steadiest hand in the house. Why? Because we know the end. We knew this day would come. We knew the days would come. We knew that it was going to get darker and darker upon this country because God had warned us and told us to prepare for these days. And God is speaking to Jeremiah, and He said, son, if you got issue with the horsemen, you're going to have problem, or with the footmen, you're going to have problem with the horsemen. As it gets worse, will you be ready? I really feel strong in my heart as I admonished you earlier, and I know it was strong. I'm going to do it again. Get in love. Stay in peace. Keep your mind steady. Don't get caught up in what's coming down. Don't get caught up in all of this left and right and get yourself off focus from God, because that's the plan. The plan is to distract you while other things are going on. Are you here? The plan is to distract you. And we are kingdom people. We're not of this earth. Our kingdom is in heaven. Our King is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is anybody here? We pray and we support and we believe and we ask God to do great and mighty things. But at the same time, we recognize the hour that we're living in. And we say, God will be prepared for the horsemen. Watch this. And then He says, if in the land of peace, wherein thou hast trusted, they have wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? He said, if you're in a place of peace, things seem to be relatively calm and things seem to be relatively good, how are you going to act whenever all of a sudden it starts to swell and it begins to flood and things don't go your way and your favorite team doesn't begin to win and everything begins to turn upside down and all of your hope begins to fade away? What would you do? See, there's many that are watching today, that are listening today, that will hear this message, that they put their hope in a system. They put their hope in government. They put their hope in men. And anytime you put your hope in a system and you put your hope in men, they will always fail you. Because man cannot save you. Man cannot deliver you in a time of destruction. Man cannot deliver you in a time of crisis. Only God can. And so Jeremiah, he's receiving a lesson from God telling him, son, these are the reasons why destruction is coming to your country. These are the reasons why I'm bringing chaos. Listen, you can't get no higher of chaos and confusion in this country than right now, right here. It doesn't go any higher. Do you understand? It doesn't go any higher. And where there's confusion, there's every evil work. So this is an understanding that as it begins to implode and it begins to come off the trail and the rail and the chains, if you will, we'll begin to see chaos. Because chaos is a part of judgment. Because he said you couldn't even handle the peace. What will you do in the time of chaos? I know what this house is going to do. Watch verse 6. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt deceitfully or treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. What's he talking about here? He's talking about those that call you friend and family, brother and sister, fellow neighbor and citizen. He said there's going to come a division. There's going to come a time when they will come up against you and they will persecute you. They will persecute you for your belief. They'll persecute you for what you stand for. And I want you to know something today. I want to be persecuted for the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for some political entity or entities. I don't want to go through things just because I have a mandate and an axe to grind and try to promote somebody and put somebody in office. I want to lift up the name that's above every name. I want to lift up Jesus Christ of Nazareth and give my life forward if that is the cause for me. You see, we got it all wrong in America. We've been hijacked. We've been pimped and prostituted. Yes, we have. By the ecumenical order that tries to harness us and our strength and our youth and our money and our abilities to promote, to put people in office. And I'm not against having authority. We need authority. But what I'm against is being lied to, being told that somebody is a Christian. Come on. Somebody telling me that they're righteous and all these different things and watch the church get split in half because of a lie. But God is fixing that right now. He's fixing it through exposure. He's fixing it through exposure and those that cling to a false vision and a false dream of a utopia of a nation that's gone to hell are going to find themselves in the undertow. Are you here? What I'm telling you is I'm going to ride the wave above it. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is I'm not going to get caught up in the whiplash and the craziness and the chaos and all the bickering and the fighting and complaining. I haven't even been on social media, but I guarantee it's on fire. I'll probably just stay off it for a while. Just do my little uploads I do, say hi and bye. That's what I do anyways. I don't get caught up on all the bickering and crying and complaining and moaning and God help us. God help us. We want God to help us when we do what we do as a nation, when we abort babies and all the craziness that takes place and all the things that happen and the murders and the suicides and the things I'm going to read to you. We want God to help us. We don't need God to help us. We need God to judge us. I said it then and I'll say it again. Those that are praying for protection, I'm not praying for protection. I'm praying for exposure. I'm praying for the soul. I'm praying for the souls of those in power that God would humble them and bring them down to their knees so they'll cry out to Jesus and get born again. Not for another 4 years, not for another 2 years or whatever cycle they have in their position. I'm praying for the souls of men. This is no game. But the church acts like it's a game. People act like it's a game and making bets on how the things are going to work out. I've read the end of the book. It don't work out too good for the heathen. It don't work out too good for the pagans. But my job and your job as a Christian is not to get into the battle, into the football game, if you will, of politics. It is your job and my job to pray for the souls of men and women, to call out to God and say, God, have mercy in the midst of judgment. God, open their eyes and let them see. As I shared with you the other day, as I was in intercessory prayer and I began to weep before God, I wept for this president. I wept for his soul. I wept because he's lost. And I don't care how you paint it politically. I don't care how you paint it with all of your talking heads you listen to and all that stuff you put in your head. Look at it the way Jesus looks at it and have pity upon those that are in sin, that are lost, that would split hell wide open right now based on the testimony of the words of their mouth. But we're fighting in the house. Been fighting for several years, and we've been preaching here trying to bring balance and say, don't get focused on these things. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Focus on him. And people who've gotten mad and people have left, we've loved them and stayed steady and stayed faithful to the message. And I still will. No matter which way this thing goes, folks, we are the kingdom of God. We're together in the kingdom of God. We are children of the Most High God. We are ambassadors of the Most High God. We are family, and we must stick together and stay together. You may not understand what I'm saying right now because it may not look bad to you, but it is coming. It's been festering so long underneath our bruised skin, and all we've done is applied makeup over it. All we've done is made the sleeve a little longer so we couldn't see the bruises. But we're a bruised nation. We're a nation that's ready to explode. And I believe we're watching the ignition take place right now. You better love your neighbor. You better love your brothers and sisters, no matter how they flow and how they think and how they lean. And better keep the kingdom of God first. I can't speak for everybody in the world. I can't speak for the man in the corner on the street or the overpass, but I can speak to the body of Christ. And this is what Jeremiah was facing as God began to deal with him and say, son, they're going to hate you. They're going to rise up against you. They're going to say all kinds of evil manner against you. Can I tell you something? When this economy falls, and they wrap it around this current president, they're going to wrap it around everybody that believes in the name of Jesus as well. Let me just lay that out for you. They're going to lay it out on everybody who's a Christian. Because remember, it's the Christian right. Oh, y'all ain't here with me today. You watch, write it down. Going to blame the Christian. Going to blame the supporters, going to blame everybody that is supportive because you believed in this vision, you believed in this dream, and then it all comes down, it's going to be upon your shoulders as well. Watch and see. Yes, it will. You say, Pastor, that's tough, man. That ain't fair. That's why I say you better stay in the middle of the road. You better stay in the middle of the cross. You better stay in truth. You better stay in love. You better stay in the prophetic reality. Then put yourself out there, because there's coming great persecution one day, and they won't even need a reason. But I'm just telling you, as the fire starts, that's what's going to happen. Watch this. So don't follow them, even though they have fair words, because they're going to come against you. Verse 7, I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. He said, I left my heritage. What does that mean? He says, God says, I've left you. I'm talking about the fake church, the false church, the Babylonian church, the church that lives high on the hog, but has no relationship with God. the church that has pomp and circumstance, but they have no depth to God. The church that doesn't even know his presence, they don't make no time for his presence. The church that doesn't preach the truth, but they preach hype. And they preach getting things instead of giving it all. He said, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to deal with them and allow their enemies to come in and allow their enemies to invade and allow their enemies to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is what's happening to America and the very moral fiber of our country. Because at one time you could say that America was like the house of the Lord. At one time you could look across the landscape of our country and see what a beautiful Christian nation it was, where people were living in righteousness and holiness, where people were loving their neighbors of all colors, where people were loving each other of all creeds and codes, and people were once in love with the power of God. But as we've seen our days and we've watched these things take place, the love of many has grown cold. It's grown cold. Not only outside, which is obvious, but it has grown cold inside the house of God. How many of y'all been to another church recently? You better feel the love of God when you're in this house. If not, I'm going to bear hug you when you get to the door. Is anybody here? The love of God has waxed cold. It's gotten dim. He said, I'm going to deal with my heritage. I'm going to allow the enemies to come in. Watch verse 8. My heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me. Therefore have I hated it. The word crieth out like a lion means it's ranting and raving. It's always bickering and fighting. It's always complaining, has nothing good to say, always wanting more, can't say thank you, can't bless you, can't just be grateful with a grateful heart, constantly saying, Lord, give, give, give. And he said, I've hated it. Could you imagine being God when all the time somebody comes to you, all they want is something? Our relationship has been so messed up. Our relationship has been so upside down with God. Where we go to him for just things instead of going to him because he's an awesome God. Come on, church. Just to go to him and say, God, everything ain't right. Everything ain't perfect for me, but I love you. God, I don't own the best, but I own something. Come on. God, I don't have it all, but I got you. I don't live in the nicest house, but I heard you got a mansion ready for me. I got fake gold around my wrist, but I heard there's streets of gold waiting on me. Come on, somebody. I don't own a pool, but there's rivers of life waiting on me. I couldn't grow a cactus, but I hear there's a tree of life in there. Is anybody here? I mean, we need to start preaching heaven and how wonderful heaven is and give God the glory and the praise and the honor for who he is and worship him again and fall down on our face and honor him instead of putting our head in all of this craziness. I'm telling you, you better get a sound mind in these coming days. Shut off that computer. Shut off that television. It'll drive you nuts. Don't look at your neighbor, but you know who I'm talking about. It'll drive you crazy. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. We need to be winning souls. We need to be building buildings and doing stuff for the kingdom of God. We need to be building people. We need to be reaching the nations of the earth. The Bible declares that hell's mouth enlarges itself daily. Say, aren't you worried about the outcome? Uh-uh. Not worried about it because this is what I prayed for. Not worried about it because this is what we prophesied about. Not I, but many. Been many folks who have warned us in the body of Christ of a coming day that is now dawning upon this nation. Not worried about it. I just want souls to be born again into the kingdom of God. Watch this. Mine heritage unto me as a speckled bird. Everybody say speckled bird. It's all mixed up. It's all tainted. Who would serve somebody with a name like Confusion? Anybody here? Got a little bit of this and that mingled in it. It's a speckled bird. We got so much speckledness in our body today in the house of God that we've lost the pureness of the gospel. We've lost the pureness of walking with Jesus and carrying our cross. We've become so mixed with the world that you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. Where our preachers are more like Dr. Phil. And they want to give us all kinds of philosophies and just talk all these eloquent things. Well, honey, I'm not eloquent, as you can see. But I'll tell you what I am. I am full of the Holy Ghost today, and I love God with all of my heart, my spirit, my soul, my mind, and my body. And I want to see you become the best that God has for you. I want him to develop you and disciple you and raise you up in the last days that you would be a warrior for Jesus Christ instead of a limp-wristed wimp that we have today in the body of Christ. Hold on, I'm almost done with my introduction. Just wait one more minute. The birds round about her are against her. Come, you assemble of the beast in the field, come and devour. What am I saying? Jeremiah is being told by God, and Jeremiah is prophesying that the enemies will come in and they will begin to devour and to destroy. And that is the case that we're watching of not only the church, but also our nation. It is being destroyed. It is being pulled apart piece by piece. Why is that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Verse 10. Many pastors. How many? Many. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. What did they do? The many pastors have destroyed it. The word destroyed in the Hebrew, it means it made them corrupt. The reason that America is facing the things that we're facing today is because our pastors, our leaders have made our nation corrupt. You say, how is that possible and why has it been laid on the pastor? Well, let me show you in verse 11 and then I will bring out some truth to you in a greater way. They have made it a desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man, say no man, layeth the heart. He said, I can't find anybody to give a rip. I can't find anybody to care. I can't find no house mothers to stand up and teach the younger how to live. I can't find no fathers in the house of God to teach the young men how to live right. Tell them how to throw their back like a T-rail and walk straight. Tell them to pick up that wrist and make a pumping fist sound and show your strength. We've taken away all the strength of our children and we've given it to the world because nobody wants to stand up and say anything because you want to be politically correct and you're afraid. Oh, I know I'm preaching good now because I got frowns. Well, let me help you turn that frown upside down and give you a smile. The reality is this is why we're in trouble in our country. It's not because of a president. It's not because of a Congress. It's not because of political entities. It's because of the wickedness in the house, the wickedness in the land, and we cannot find believers who will stand up and say something that needs to be said because you're too afraid. It's the truth. And I'm just taking it easy on you. We got guests in the house. I don't want to get too wild. Don't make me take my jacket off. Listen to me now. Got no pastors want to tell the truth. Too afraid. Got all kinds of stuff. Little demons running around in the church. Little homosexual demons and lesbian demons. Playing in the organ. Playing in the band. Is anybody here? And nobody wants to say anything. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say nothing about that. That's not my job. That's a pastor's job. Nobody wants to say nothing to your family member. Nobody wants to challenge anybody. Nobody wants to say, put down the dope. Oh, I'm feeling good now. Put down your cigarette. Put down your chewy tobacco. Put down the vices and the things that keep you from a relationship with God. Put down those things that hold you back from God. Too afraid, don't want to tell nobody. Don't want to tell a man that watches pornography you're going to go to hell. Don't want to get in anybody's face because, you know, I don't want no problems with anybody. Honey, that's why we're in trouble, because ain't nobody saying nothing. That's why the nation's in trouble, because our pastors are too cute on television. They're trying to be too cute with everybody. Well, I don't want nobody getting mad at me. They don't like you anyways. I don't want to offend nobody. As soon as I walk in a room, somebody's offended. That's life. You just think everybody loves you. No, they don't. 99.9% on Facebook, you don't even know them. And they're your friend. You fall off the earth, they wouldn't even know it. Help me, church. You know it's the truth. And we find ourselves in this predicament. We're in a burn notice situation with God. We find chaos in the highest office of our land, exposures taking place. All this stuff is happening because of the wickedness. And he says, I can't find nobody to lay at the heart. I can't find nobody to cry and to plead. You got more people in the Christian church today that are mad about the impeachment because of their favorite person than they are about the whole issue of salvation and redemption of the individual. You got people that are more distracted about this fight than the good fight of faith and saving souls. And going out and doing outreach and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing what you're supposed to do. Stuck on that computer like a bug on a zap light. Some of y'all know what a zap light is. Y'all need to get you one. They're fun. Is anybody here? That'll give you something to do. That's what we do in the country. We ain't shooting nobody. We ain't robbing nobody. We're doing bug zappers. Now you can get them with the fly swatting thing that smacks them when they fly and it electrocutes them. Come on, church. I'm about to hit you with some hard truth in a minute. You better hold your ears here in a moment. He said, I got a problem with the pastors. Nobody wants to say anything because everybody wants to be cute. Everybody wants Facebook friends, and everybody wants thumbs up and Twitter likes and whatever else that goes on. Everybody wants to be propped up and promoted. Listen to me. I don't care about promotion. I don't care about fame. I don't care about popularity. I pray constantly, God, let them forget my name. Let them forget the name of this church, but let them always remember that indelible name, the name of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with the glory? What are you going to do with all the praise? You better give it to God. You better give Jesus all the praise and the honor and the glory. All we have is showboats in the house. Prancing My Little Ponies. Prancing around looking so cute for everybody. Trying to keep them all dazzled and amazed by their ability to speak. God anointed a donkey to speak. He'll anoint you and me, won't he? He said, nobody lays it to heart. And they read some things to you right now that are very hard to read, but they're a reality anyways. Because if you don't hear the totality of this message, then you won't know where the Holy Spirit was leading us today concerning the burn notice. And you surely wouldn't understand verse 4 on the two indictments. So I must be clear in giving these understandings to you. I will start out mild. I do not have the ability to put it on screen because we do listen. We have so many listeners that are on radio and shortwave. But I mentioned to you in the past about Mattel. How many of y'all know Mattel growing up, the toy company? I told you about Barbie and how Ken's got a friend now. Let me help you. Ken has a friend, a friendly friend. But they've gone even further towards the sewage. Now they're launching a new line of gender-neutral dolls. And I will put a link on my YouTube channel so you folks can go see that are on YouTube. Gender-neutral dolls. I encourage you to spend around 60 seconds or so and watch the commercial as they have little transgender boys and girls playing with these dolls. It ain't the Barbie you grew up with, because now they got muscles. If y'all don't know what muscles is, that's muscles. Ain't got no figure. Look like a boy, but it ain't a boy. It's an it. And on this commercial, they will tell you how they are breaking new ground to bring our children into a safe place to play with these things, when it is nothing more than idolatry and propaganda that is being forced down your children's throats. And there'll be people in the church who will support it. There'll be people that will support it and say, there's nothing wrong with it. It's idolatry. It's an abomination to God. I'm not one that calls for boycotts, but I would tell you, if you possibly could, if you could, in all of your ability, never buy another Mattel product again. The only problem with this whole beast system is you don't know who owns what. And that's why I'm always cautious to say that, because you just don't know. But I do say this with all righteous conscience before God: make every effort not to purchase for that company. As I've said in the past, if you boycotted everything, all you would do is live outside eating sticks and bugs, naked. Because everybody is tied into something unrighteously in this country and really the world. So I began by just telling you that taking place in our country, and we can't find preachers that'll stand up on a Sunday morning and talk about this. Oh, there'll be a few, and I will applaud them, and I'll be so glad. And there'll be a few in the blogs and Christian websites. But all of these evangelical people, all these big-time Protestant guys, all these big movers and shakers, they ain't got nothing to say about it because they don't want to offend nobody. When that's the reason we're in trouble, is because you ain't offended nobody. You ain't said nothing to nobody. You let everybody get away with it, and next thing you know, the devil gets an inch and then he takes a mile. The problem is, this is our children. Genderless. Take a look at them nasty. They ought to be them little freak dolls. What happened to G.I. Joe? What happened just Barbie, man, and that Corvette? Some of y'all don't have no daughters or granddaughters. Don't know what I'm talking about. It's propaganda, and they're shoving it down our throats, and they're making our children turn gay, turn away from God, turn away from righteousness. If you don't like that word, too bad, but that's exactly what's happening, and nobody is saying anything about it. Of substance. We're too worried about what's going on in Washington. Honey, I tell you, I'm not worried about what's going on in Washington. I'm worried about what's going on in your neighborhood. I'm concerned about what's happening in your school district. I'm concerned about what's happening in your child's life and your grandchildren's life. All that stuff is going to work itself out. You know what's so funny? After all the sparks and all the flames and all that stuff, you're going to find folks golfing together. While you done pulled your hair out and your family members' hair out and didn't have Thanksgiving with each other, they're going to be hanging out. And you're going to be foolish. Isn't that right? I wanted to mention this too as a way of prayer, that suicides are increasing within our military. In fact, three on the same ship within a week took their lives It's an epidemic in our country, guys. Where are our preachers talking about it? Where's the intervention? And as I read and I listened to the military planners and the military chiefs, they said they don't have an answer. I'll tell you the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is to put the cross back. The answer is to bring the gospel back. The answer is to preach righteousness and clean up the house. But we won't do it. We'll find new programs. We'll give more drugs. We'll do more psychological training, and it'll do no good. Some of y'all heard about this incident, and I'm only reading this so that our minds can be opened up to the reality of where we are. But in New Jersey, New York, I should say, where the man jumped in front of a subway train with his 5-year-old daughter. Again, I don't share my personal prayer life with folks for a reason. But when I read her first words when they pulled her from underneath the tracks because she lived, she said, "Papa, my papa." She had no idea that her demonized father was trying to take her life as well. And I look at that in a snapshot and I say, I understand that everybody couldn't stop it. And there's all kinds of reasons, but I put this together in a mosaics for us to see that because we don't talk about it, because we don't preach, because we don't get into the position of reaching people, we find the nation decaying and we find these issues that are heartbreaking. And it should not be. A 5-year-old should not be put in that situation. Though it's not your fault and not my fault, it's a microcosm. It's an example of the very heart of our country. And you want to tell me it's going to be great. You want to tell me everything's going to be fine and everything's going to be fantastic. You've lost your brains. I'm going to read something to you that's very offensive, and I apologize, as I mentioned in the earlier onset of this, but you need to hear this as I bring my message to a close. There are new couples or couples that are apparently, they're getting pregnant. It's a new sexual fetish going on in America to where they get pregnant in order to have sexual relationships freely for the 20 to 25 week period to abort the child. Let me repeat myself, for maybe you did not hear. There is a new sexual fetish that is going on in America where couples are having intercourse in order for pregnancy to take place within the 20 to 25 week period. They have an abortion because in that period, the female is more sensitive and it's a free-for-all. Where are the ones to lay it to heart? One particular person had wrote in the forum, he says, "Yeah, my girlfriend and I have been doing this for 10 years. We've had 7 abortions. And right now she's pregnant with a girl." Do you understand the sickness and the fever and the disease and the malady and the malfunction of a nation that is imploding? Can you not see and understand why God is judging America and we're watching the heads spin? Because nobody lays it to heart, nobody cares, nobody cries out to God and says, "God, forgive us as a nation, forgive us for what we've done." We should be petitioning heaven, not Washington. We should be crying out to God, not for protection, but exposure. It's probably one of the most sickest things I've ever read to anybody publicly. How your heart is not broken, I do not know. You're too callous. But as I said many times, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to care until it's your money. You won't care until you can't slide that card anymore. You won't care anymore till your paycheck don't go through direct deposit. That's when you'll care, America. Right now, you don't give a rip. House SWAT is not kicking down the doors to wherever this forum is located is beyond me. No, but we can do abortions in America. It's fine, man. That's what we do here. See, we're not mad about it. Let me tell you why we're not mad about it. Let me tell you why he said what he said in verse 11. Listen to this article, and I'm going to get out of your way. I'm sure you're done with me by now. Theological students confess climate sins while sitting in the front of a bunch of potted plants. The folks at the Union Theological Seminary, never heard of them, should call it cemetery, are taking the concept of talking to your plants to a frightening new level. Each year, students at the cemetery buy a ridiculous amount of money, go to the school, and they are there to be trained to be Christian leaders of tomorrow. But instead, they're being taught to confess their climate sins to potted plants in front of them. You think I'm crazy, don't you? You think I just made that up? I will leave the link for you so you can go back and see a bunch of weirdos. I don't know, what else do I call them? Do you got a better politically correct word to say? And you're going to see a chapel setting at a seminary, and they're sitting in front of plants. I'm so sorry, all of my sins that I've done to you, Mr. Ivory. That's why we're going to hell. That's why America's jacked up. That's why America is messed up, because we've got wickedness in our land, and we got the future Christian leaders talking to plants and telling them they're sorry because they didn't water them enough. And we got people with fetish aborting babies. Burn notice, baby. There's a burn notice on the nation. This is why America can never be great again, because we left our greatness when we went into the deep waters of paganism in America. Listen to this. This is off of their page. Today in chapel, we confessed to plants. Together we held our grief, our joy, our regret, and our hope, and our sorrow in prayer, offering them to the beings who sustain us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. I'm withering right here. This is so sad. And then at the end it says, what do you confess to your plants in life? So you all need to go home and start talking to your trees and watch a white truck pull up and pull you out of there. Folks, I bring it down lightly because this is a heavy message. And there's more that I could say, but I'm out of my time today. We are in a bad situation in America. Jesus is the only hope. He's the only stability for our souls. But I'm asking you today to reach out to him in a closer relationship. Get your mind right on God. Don't get your mind caught up in all the political wrangling and mess that's going on, because you're going to find yourself on the wrong side, either side. You're going to find yourself wrong. Stand in the middle of truth. Pray for our country. Pray for pastors to wake up and realize the hour that we're living in and get a backbone and preach. This is absolute insanity of what our nation is going through. If you're watching right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day of salvation. He loves you with an amazing love. Judgment is not for you. Redemption is, if you receive him today. For those that are backslidden, today is the day to come on home. The prodigal son, the father is always waiting for you. The prodigal daughter, the father never left you. Today is the day. Now's the time to make it right with God. Father, I bless you. I thank you for this message. I'm sorry, Father, for the condition of our country. I'm sorry, Father God, for how far away we've gone from you and towards this world. Father, I ask for healing in the body of Christ, healing in leadership to do what we're supposed to do in this hour, and that is to preach this gospel to all the nations of the earth. Then shall the end come. We bless you. It is in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. I love you guys. Good to have our visitors. Those on live stream, I love you. See you Wednesday.